To be quite honest with you, I think it was some sort of a learning curve because and this is something very interesting. I am a chemical engineer, but when you talk about a project engineer, you usually find more mechatronics, you find more mechanical, you find more those kind of formations for the role. But I was given an opportunity. Right, without knowing all that stuff.
Welcome to the Chemical Engineering Guys podcast, a show in which we share stories and tips from chemical and process engineers. We talk about student and professional life, as well as important aspects of products, processes, industries, and companies. But more importantly, what are the paths that these unique individuals are taking in this ever-changing world? Let's get started. This is just a quick note on this episode. Actually, to be honest, guys, this was the very first guest and the very first episode I recorded. I had some issues with the recordings and the microphone might not be the best. Also, the structure of the episode might not be exactly the same of what we have been doing before in previous episodes. But I am of the idea that if it's good enough for you guys, then it should be aired. Also, the profile is a little bit more different of what we're used because so far I have been focusing on process engineers and maybe project engineers or engineers that are currently working in the industry, with the exception maybe of Tello, Fernando Tello, which is currently working on real estate. But since this was the very first episode, I wanted to wait and show you guys first the real hardcore process engineers. And this episode is very special because I do feel a connection with Rulo, which is the guest. He is currently in his entrepreneur life, so let's see how it goes. And you guys may encounter that we don't talk that much into the actual roles of engineering. We go directly into entrepreneurship and how chemical engineering relates to gastronomic life. So hearing or listening to this episode once again while auditioning and doing all the final details, I did have some doubts on how Rulo started doing his entrepreneurship. So most likely I will be doing another episode. Let's talk about more on his actual work at PepsiCo, at Mondelez International, and of course, more into the actual entrepreneurship. So please let me know what you want to know the best. Should we focus more in his profile in the industry, or should we focus more into the way in which chemical engineers can open business or start their own path? Okay, without further ado, let's begin. So what is up, guys? We are now with Rulo, Luis Raul Jimenez. He's one of my friends from back in the day in the university. We both studied chemical engineering, and he has been working as a chemical and process engineer, I think at least two jobs related to the field. But now he started a new journey, and I'm pretty sure it's very exciting. I want to interview Rulo, and I want to know more about this new industry, which is the gastronomic, or how chemical engineering can relate to a restaurant or food services. And well, that's what I want to know, Rulo. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Hi. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for inviting me to join you in your podcast. It's a pleasure to be with you, my friend. I'll start introducing myself. As you mentioned, my name is Luis Jimenez. That's short. I was born in southern Mexico, specifically Tabasco. I'm not sure if it's related to the salsa or not. that's the name of the place. I've lived in different places, basically because I was looking for a better education or job opportunities. So I met Emmanuel back in Monterrey, which is in northern Mexico. I lived in Mexico City as well, and all my recent moves was because of job, a better job, a better promotion specifically. And as you mentioned, I've been working in the food industry since I graduated. Actually, I started this in EHS department, which is environment, health, and safety, and then I moved to engineering, and now I am starting my own business. And yeah, that's pretty much a pretty quick background of myself.
That's great, Rulo. So how old are you, and how long have you been working in the two jobs you just mentioned?
Well, I'm 29, almost 30 years old. I started working when I was 23, and actually worked for three different companies. It's quite funny because when I started on this EHS department job, I was there for 1 year or something like that, and then I realized I wasn't quite happy with what I was doing, so I decided to move to engineering, to project engineering, which is quite close to process engineering and project management. It's quite a funny mixture of those jobs. And I started with this project management thing back in 2015. Yeah, so that was almost 5 years, and different approaches, different scopes, but at the end of the day, I was doing pretty much the same, just in different scale with different budgets, and yeah, 5 years, almost
okay.
5 years.
Okay, sounds great. So the first job, you were telling me that it was about environmental and safety issues. But you say it was not quite what you wanted. Can you tell us what you enjoy about how did you got that job first, and how did you enjoy it, and why didn't you like it at the end?
Yeah, well, actually, I'll just take one step back. I have to mention that just as you, I'm a chemical engineer. That's my major, but when I was in college, I decided to do a minor on environmental engineering. So I will always be quite passionate about environmental affairs, specifically all these environmental technologies and green technologies. And environment is quite a big topic, but all these technologies for taking care of the environment are pretty attractive to me. So when I was in college, I actually had an internship on environmental. It was some sort of environmental engineering. And everything that I wanted back in those days was related to environment. That's why when I graduated, I wanted to land a job related to environment, of course, but also health and safety, because all the companies, they have this interesting mixture of environment, health, and safety, right? So they are just one department, and all the kind of activities that you have are quite different, right? So it's quite interesting, and I think it makes sense for at least for me. And how I got that job, it was quite unexpected, because when I graduated, my father recommended me to have some vacations. He said, you should have some vacations now, because you don't know when you're going to have them when you start working. So I decided to take 1 or 2 months off, go back to my parents' house and spend some time with them. And then I started looking for a job. But that took me about 3 or 4 months, something like that. So almost 6 months I was unemployed, but I was enjoying that time. So
I want to make a important point that you just mentioned of taking some time before working. I'm pretty sure many of the students that are going to graduate, they think they are on the clock and they think that it's crucial to find a job in the first maybe 2-3 months. But you decided to take vacations, which I think is, now looking back, is much more important to, I don't know, have 1 month, 2 months traveling. Because as you stated, you're going to be working a lot. And especially here in Mexico, we don't have that much vacations. So can you let us know more on those, or on your selection? Are you happy with that, or do you regret it maybe, or it doesn't make that much of a difference for you?
Well, for me, I really appreciate that my father actually recommended that to me, to be quite honest with you. I enjoyed the time. I was studying outside. I was living in a different city than my parents. So, and actually I was living by myself for almost 5 years, which was a college duration. So that was quite refreshing, to be very honest with you, to reconnect with them, to slow down, because sometimes when you are about to graduate, you have this big ideas and you're in a rush because you're trying to land a very, very big, very interesting job or your dream job. But sometimes you just need to slow down and take a look at what's around you and look not only from a job point of view, you also need to understand where you're standing on, let's say, from an economical point of view, from your family, in regards of your family. So I think those are the kind of things that everyone should take a look at, or that I think that everyone should look at before actually trying to focus all your efforts in only your job.
Yeah, definitely. I actually regret not taking time between my graduation, which was mid-December. I took only the typical holidays on December because, I don't know, I think it's always very slow moments to look for a job. No one wants to hire people because it's a very, I don't know, very Christian or holidays in Mexico. But I remember that once January started, I was sending lots of requests, I was searching everywhere. And I actually landed a job in the second week of January. So for me, it was almost directly like I graduated, some vacations with family, and I didn't have the time to travel or to think more. I was in automatic, as you stated. Sometimes it's much better to slow down, think what you want to do. And well, I regret it. I will recommend it, but I don't know, maybe I will want to know someone that might have regretted that because I didn't search for jobs in January. Maybe I couldn't find a job in 5-6 months, but I don't think that's the case. Companies are always looking for people all year round. Either they are let go, so they have a vacancy or a new job post or so. So I don't think it's that crucial to have a job that fast. But yeah, anyways, Rulo.
And just something else that I want to mention is that it's quite different for everyone, because some people, they are living under the stress of actually having to earn money as soon as they finish college. But again, those are the things that I lived, that I was through. But I mean, everyone's situation is different, right? So if you are under pressure of earning money, that's fine as well. I mean, everyone has a different story and a different background, right? So there are wrong decisions, just different decisions. But at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is that you feel comfortable with your decision and that you thought about everything before actually making that decision.
That's true. I totally agree. Actually, when I travel, I see a lot of young students from Europe. And I think it's a trend that many of them take not only 1 month or two, maybe they take 1 semester or even 1 year before they look for a job. And I think that's also a very interesting approach to life. So you have been studying all your life. So I think you kind of deserve it. If you can afford it, as you stated, it depends a lot on the life you have. If you are already in debt or you need to work ASAP, well, that might be not a nice option. But if you can, I will definitely recommend you. Anyways, Rudo, let's pass to your second job. How or what was about it? What did you enjoy and what did you hate it? Or not hate it, maybe didn't enjoy it that much.
Yeah. Okay, so as I said, I started in this EHS thing. It was in PepsiCo Mexico Foods, which is the foods division of PepsiCo here in the country. So I was not quite enjoying this job because I was working on a desk. So I was a young recently graduated engineer who was eager to go out and learn about the processes, to watch the actual manufacture of the machines, chips, of cookies, exactly, to see machines and big stuff going on. But I was sitting on a desk. So that's why that's what I didn't like about my job. I had this conversation with my manager at that time, and he said, okay, so we'll put you in a project which will allow you to interact with other functions of here of the company, and then you can start learning about processes. Specifically, you can learn about all the machines, you can learn about quality, you can learn about different things. Different aspects of a single thing. And yeah, I was quite excited. So I started working with these different areas. And when I realized I already had a proposal for moving to the engineering department. So I accepted that offer, but I needed to move to Mexico City. So that was a very big decision that I had to make because I needed to move to a city that I didn't know, that I wasn't quite excited to get to know. And I was having a good life in Monterrey back then. So it wasn't easy, but my mother actually gave me a very good piece of advice, which was, you are young and you don't have big commitments. So, for example, back then I didn't have any financial debts. I was single. I didn't have an actual reason to be in Monterrey because of that. I needed to be. I was there because I wanted to, not that I needed to be there. So I decided to move to Mexico City and accept this new role, which was as a project engineer for the same company. And that's when I started learning all the kind of stuff that I was looking for. Actually, I realized that I didn't know a thing. It was quite...
You mean more into project management, or you mean more into actual chemical engineering, or you mean more into the products? What's the thing you want to say here?
Well, actually, it was a mixture of those three, because first I needed to learn about machinery, which I realized that I didn't know, because that was not part of my classes. I didn't actually spend time in school learning about machines. From a mechanical point of view, from an electrical point of view. So that was a lot of things that I had to learn for this new role. And also I was involved with the machines, with the actual process. which was, so you were going to a plant? Yeah.
Sorry, okay, nice. So it was 50-50 in that you were maybe in a desk or office and then you went out, or how was the distribution?
I think it actually was more like a 70% on the floor and 30% on my desk. Yeah, it was quite a change. Yeah, absolutely. So I had to learn many things. First, as I was saying, machinery, and then I had to learn to manage my time because I had to be on the floor, and then I had I also had responsibilities back in my desk. So I had to start learning how to efficiently manage my time in order to fulfill all my responsibilities on the two fronts, right? So that was also another big learning.
Sorry, would you say that you were handed more tasks than it should, or maybe it was just about assigning the correct time, or did you need to take more time from the established, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 hours to actually fulfill those jobs?
To be quite honest with you, I think it was some sort of a learning curve. Because, let's say, and this is something very interesting. I am a chemical engineer, but when you talk about a project engineer, you usually find more mechatronics, you find more mechanical, you find more those kind of formations for the role. But I was given an opportunity. Exactly. But I was given an opportunity, right? Without knowing all that stuff. So I had to
And this was because you asked, that's very important thing I want to try to say from this talk, is that you actually told your old boss that you didn't enjoy that much your job, and you asked for something more. You describe what you will prefer, and they try to include you that, or it was luck, or someone knew about you. How do you actually manage to change that, I don't know, maybe 95-100% office work to the actual 73% on plant and office distribution?
Yeah, actually, when I was on that special assignment that I mentioned to you before, I had the opportunity to work with an engineering manager who I openly spoke to and said, "Hey, I really like what you guys are doing, and I would like to have an opportunity to join the engineering team." I asked for it, right? But unfortunately, he didn't have a available position. So I think he liked what I was doing in that assignment, and he saw that I could fulfill those responsibilities. So he spoke to another engineering manager and said, "Hey, this guy should join us." And that's how I got the opportunity to join the engineering team. So basically, I was recommended. And then, of course, all these interviews and all of that, the standard procedure.
Yeah.
And then I got the proposal.
I think it's very important. And nowadays, I think there's not that much communication between maybe the superiors and the subordinates. They fear that maybe if they say what they want, they will be like, I don't know how to say it, but you should communicate how you feel and what are your aspirations, because then you will get mad or you will get pissed, angry, and change jobs. And maybe there was an opportunity for you to grow and you just lost it because you were not communicative. So I really think that what you did is very, very important. And actually it worked for you and you went to the big city. So that's also a thing. I would like to talk about more on your experience in Mexico City. I think it's very, as you stated, not typically we get this, that many people want to go to Mexico City. So why wouldn't you like that much the idea? And how you felt there. I know that you are a big foodie, so probably you liked that part, but overall, what was your experience in Mexico City?
Well, I'm gonna sum that up saying that I hated Mexico City. let me explain you why. I think everyone has a different lifestyle. Everyone has a different, and that's what's interesting about this part of my life, because I made this decision to move to Mexico City because I wanted to give Mexico City an opportunity, right? I moved there because of my job and because I wanted to professionally grow. That's why I moved to Mexico City. I consider myself as a very easygoing and, let's say, relaxed person. And Mexico City is this enormous, huge city with thousands of activities and also millions of people. So that's what I didn't like about Mexico City. Everything was
too much
so
happening.
Fast. Exactly. Everything was happening so fast. There are people everywhere, traffic jam all day long. And that's not the lifestyle that I wanted. I mean, I had this better opportunity, but I didn't like the city. But I was dealing with that. I was dealing with that because I was at that moment of my life, I was focusing a lot on my career. That's the reason why I was standing
there.
Exactly.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the most important parts as chemical engineers to find a work-life balance, because there are many opportunities for young and I will even say senior engineers. And the problem is the work-life balance, that sometimes you need to sacrifice not only normal things, but more. You need to change your lifestyle. You need to change from cities, countries. You maybe even need to change, I don't know, if you like to do something, maybe avoid that because you don't have time. I don't know. I think it's very important, and that's very personal, to actually stop, think if you are going or are you enjoying your actual life and work balance. Because if you like the work, that's great, but maybe you don't like that much your life, or vice versa. You have a great life, you have a lot of time, but your work is simply not fulfilling. So that's a very interesting issue. So now, Rulo, tell us more. I think there's one last job. Maybe you want just to give a quick overview, and let's jump directly to your business on how you relate food and chemical engineering.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to just go very fast. I'm going to mention a couple of things that I think are quite relevant to you and your guys. I moved back to Monterrey because I received an offer by the time that I was so fed up with Mexico City. I received this offer to join a different company and doing practically the same, but managing bigger projects with bigger budgets. And then I moved back to Monterrey. So that was, let's say, an easy decision for me because I was moving back to the city that I liked and actually having more responsibility. So that was quite good for my career and also for myself, for enjoying my time and enjoying the place where I lived. Then I was on that company, Mondelez International, for 2 years. And then I moved to chemical industry. I received a proposal to move to a chemical and to a chemical company, which was...
Sorry, I want to interrupt you a little bit. Mm-hmm. So all these proposals you get are randomly, or did you search for them, or maybe just via LinkedIn? How do they get to you, or how do you find them?
Actually, they looked for me. Everything was through these headhunters. They are looking for people on LinkedIn, or through recommendations from former colleagues. But on this case, all these opportunities arrived to me through LinkedIn. So actually, I realized that LinkedIn is a quite powerful tool.
Without even using it. So that's great, I think.
Exactly.
So So just a message of a headhunter telling you, hey, this company might be interested with you, or how does it work?
Yeah. To be quite honest with you, I always try to have my LinkedIn profile up to date. I was always making sure that I have a recent picture, that I have all my roles described in there properly with my responsibilities, some achievements. Let's say I put the whole information that is supposed to be in there. So these people is looking for a bunch of people who meets the criteria that they are looking for. Then they approach, they tell you that they are looking for these people for this job, and that if you are interested, you should send your resume to them, right? And that's basically how every time I moved. And what I liked about that is that it was always for improving, never for doing the exact same thing. So I always have a better salary and more responsibility. It was always looking for growth.
Always growing, always increasing. That's great, Rulo. And I have something controversial maybe here. Would you say that the university you went to, or maybe the Pepsi, which is a very important company, or what is exactly that you think is your advantage, or maybe the recommendations, someone that actually knew you directly, what would you say is the key component on those searches that arise the opportunity?
Yeah, that's a very good one. I think actually studying abroad is something that the companies really desire nowadays. Especially the big ones. And when I talk about big, I mean, I am talking about global companies. Because at the end of the day, when you're working on a global company, you're going to work with people from everywhere. And when I mean everywhere, I mean it. When I was working with as project engineer, I started working with contractors from Japan, Denmark, Germany, Italy, from Brazil, from all around the globe, and people who spoke a different language to mine. So English is a must as well. English, studying abroad, and also this part of, for example, these activities that are not in your curricula. For example, getting on the student board, on college, and those kind of things really, I think they really add up, and companies really desire that kind of activities.
Okay, yeah, I will definitely say that it's impossible just to say something. Of course, the degree matters, the amount of time you have been in works matters. The companies matter. So I just wanted to see if you said something like, yeah, definitely this was the game changer in my life. But make no worries, Rulo. Let's pass to the actual thing that I want to talk. And now that we have a very nice introduction, we know what you have been doing, where you have been doing it, and the companies and so. Tell us now about your project. Now, what are you doing? What? I don't know. I want to know everything that you can relate. And especially because I go to Reddit, to the subreddit on chemical engineering, and I always get not personally, I see the post on what can chemical engineers do as entrepreneurship, or how can they open businesses. And I typically see a lot of bad feedback and very angry people that they feel that they condemn, that they cannot do anything, that they are almost slaves to companies, slaves to production, manufacturing. So I don't think that's the case. And that's why I ask you to come here. Tell us an example on what can a chemical engineer do and how, if you apply it, how do you do it?
I'll start saying that we can do anything that we want. And that might sound quite romantic, but I think it's true. In my case, I always wanted to have my own business. I never saw myself working for the same company for the rest of my life and then retiring and being, I don't want to say a slave, because if you are there, it's because you want to. It's because you decided to be there. But I didn't see myself working on a company for the rest of my life, to be honest. But I was well aware that I needed to develop certain skills, to learn some stuff, to be exposed to real life while I had a job. I thought that was the best strategy for me. I thought that was what would work for me to develop this expertise, not only on the technical, from a technical point of view, but also from working with others and how to deal with complexity and all this stuff that they don't teach you at school, right? So that's basically what I was learning, especially since I was working as project manager. I had to deal with people all the time. And that's something that I thought that I needed to work in. So how this started then as a chemical engineer, I had this hobby which was cooking, and more specifically grilling. So while I was working, I bought my first barbecue. So I started to work on some dishes. I was attending some classes because that's something that I really enjoy doing. And I'm not talking from a professional point of view. I always saw that as my hobby. I never thought of it as my own business. And as a chemical engineer, I think you understand.
Sorry, Rolo.
Yeah.
Tom. I think that's very important that you say that. You should not see, well, you may see, but it's also the importance of having hobbies that you actually like and enjoy doing, because sometimes you just connect to points. You see, I love doing this and I know there's money on this, so why not open a shop on this? So I think that's, if I remember something on you, is that you are a big foodie, a food restaurant fan, you love craft beers, you love grilling. And I think that was something important to consider in life, that you will not always have something related to work. You also can work towards your hobbies or private life. And yeah, well, I just wanted to jump here and please continue. How do you relate that to chemical engineering, or how does it help or it does not help? Let me know.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, as you said, and that's something that I was refusing to do. I was refusing to try to earn money with my hobby, because I was thinking, this is my hobby. This is something that I do to get away from my job, to spend my free time, and I don't want to ruin that. But as a chemical engineer, I think you understand or you see the world from a different point of view. And let me give you just a quick example. For example, if you're thinking about a barbecue and you have this very big piece of steak in front of you, the raw meat, and then you understand that the barbecue itself is a heat source, right? And do you have raw meat which needs to be cooked? But what happens when you cook something? That you get rid of moisture, that you have this heat transmission, and you understand that if you put the meat right in front of the fire over the heat source, it's gonna cook differently if you put it far away from it, right? So when you understand these basic basic principles of heat transmission, when you understand some physics even, this kind of things make you understand what's going on your barbecue, for example. And that's a quite simple example, but also happens when you're cooking something on your kitchen, right? When you're cooking something on your kitchen, you understand why you have, for example, why it's bad to leave something outside because of bacteria. That kind of things maybe like something you assume, but you do not understand. And if you're a chemical engineer, or let's say an engineer, just an engineer, specifically chemical engineer, you understand what's going on, and then you can work with it, and then you can improve your cooking, and that's basically what chemical engineer is doing for me at this point of my life, right? It gave me a lot in my when I was working for these big enterprises, but it's also giving me it's still giving me this comprehension of what I'm doing on a different level, right? If you go, for example, to cooking classes, they are gonna tell you, yeah, just turn on the fire, your stove, and put your pan and your steak, and that's it. But why is that happening? How is this Maillard reaction happening? You
Exactly.
know that
That's
kind of
true.
stuff takes you cooking to a different level. You enjoy it in a different way.
For example, I'm like you, Rulo. I always see this as a, I don't know, maybe a chemical reactor or a heater, and you see salting before, in between, or afterwards. What do you want to have? You want to have the saltiness? Do you want to increase? What does salt do? I don't know. There are many things that you can always work. Why does smoking is what is smokiness? What flavor is it? Is it the actual smoke, or is something a reaction? And more importantly, I want to, I don't know if you use the project management tools you learned, but how do you deal with, I don't know, inventory, cost, clients, transportation, logistics, all that? Do you also use the tools you learned from school or from your previous jobs, or are you learning right now on the path? How does it work?
Yeah, it's quite interesting because since I got this minor on environmental engineering, I did not receive this formation on inventories and costs management and all that stuff. So every day I'm learning something different. And there's something that for chemical engineers with a minor on administration might be quite obvious, it was not for me. So I'm still learning. I'm learning a lot of things that I never thought that I was going to do by myself. For example, exactly how to manage my inventories, what's happening, why is my inventory building up, why are my customers not buying, or why are my customers buying? So those kind of things are quite interesting for me, and but I'm learning on a more practical approach. So I might
That's
not give
true.
you the theory. I might not know the guy who described this behavior and all of that stuff, but I'm learning on a practical basis how to
On
manage
the
my inventories
go.
exactly on the
That's
go.
true. I'm pretty sure you will not let me lie here, but chemical engineers, well, overall engineers are people that solve problems overall. So we learn about science and physics, chemistry, machines because we want to solve problems rather than just learn how they work. We want to solve practical problems, as you stated. So what can tell me something else on this new enterprise, and then we pass to some very quick questions, random questions, some related to life, other to engineering, study, and so on.
Well, so what I'm doing right now, and of course, this is something that is not limited. That, as I said, this is something that I'm starting. So it's that I'm changing, that I'm changing all the time, and that I am adapting to this. Right now, I'm selling food, which is vacuum sealed and also frozen. Why is that? Because I understand what the difference between packing your foods on a typical way and vacuum sealing that. But something else that the chemical engineering gave to me, right? Understanding why it's better to pack on a vacuum sealed bag against a regular one. And also frozen my bags, because I understand what that allows you to preserve your food for a longer time. So I can, doing these things, I can deliver to my customers food, let's say fresh food that is packed, but it's fresh at the same time, and it's also flavorful. That's, for example, something that people is quite surprised, because they do not understand the difference between a typical packaging compared to mine, right? So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm also starting, I'm doing some smoked food things right now. And I have some other projects coming in the next weeks, but that's what I'm doing right now.
That's great, Rulo. I'm really happy for you. I think the world overall needs more entrepreneurs. And hopefully you, I don't know if you have already people that you pay as maybe employees or third party.
Not formally, to be quite honest with you. I'm just having someone that is helping me, not an employee, but someone who is helping me right now, because it's interested in learning about some basic cooking techniques, because again, I'm a chemical engineer, not a chef. So I do not consider myself as a chef. I consider myself as a cooker. But also, I mean, since this is what I'm doing, I'm doing research, and now I am buying some online courses and attending some classes. So that's a kind of, as you said, this is all on the go learning.
Nice, as it should be. We should never have fear on new tasks. We need to always adapt, as any engineer will do. Okay, Rulo. So let me ask you some kind of quick, I'm going to shoot you some quick questions, mm-hmm. and try to be very concise or fast, mm-hmm. not that much information, just maybe yes or very quick questions. Okay.
Okay.
So here it goes. What would you change from your bachelor or university life?
I would spend more time hanging out with friends.
Nice. What would you add to your syllabus?
Maybe more financial topics or how to deal with people.
That's a hard one.
I know.
Okay. Overrated stuff or subjects in chemical engineering?
I think sometimes we go quite deep on thermodynamics, and that's not very practical if you're not going to do research or design equipment, in my experience.
That's true. Maybe, or maybe in 3 months you tell me, oh, I was doing some thermo stuff in the meat, and then I knew that if I change this fuel, I will consume 3% less, and I will increase my profit.
Yeah, I might change my mind in 3 months. Yeah, that's true.
Favorite engineering subject?
Oh, I think that would be transport phenomena.
The hardest subject you had in your life?
Differential equations.
I love that subject. I enjoy it actually. A quick tip for chemical engineering students.
Oh, relax. I mean, relax. Enjoy your courses. Enjoy your friends, your classmates, and enjoy the ride. That would be it.
That's always true in any point of life. If you could meet any engineer or scientist, who will it be?
I would like to know Bird, the author of the Transport Phenomena book, because I would like to know what he was thinking on when he was doing all that writing and all those calculations. It would be quite interesting.
Yeah, actually, that's very sad that, I don't know, you know him from his book, but you don't know him in person. It will be very crazy to meet him overall.
Exactly.
Well, let's change to professional quick questions. Mm-hmm. So, your dream job?
My dream job? Maybe owning a restaurant right now.
Who would you trade jobs for 1 week?
I might change... Maybe with an architect. To be quite honest with you, I and my previous jobs, I worked with architects, and I find that quite amusing.
That's unexpected. I didn't expect that from you, Rulo. That's a nice one. Underrated jobs for chemical engineers. No worries. Think it, and if you can answer it, great.
Yeah, on the end. I will give it a second.
The best advice you have been given in your professional life?
If you can do something about it, do it. If you can't, just forget about it.
And the worst advice?
Well, actually, I received quite bad advice, I think. Maybe when people tell you just do it, don't ask questions, I think that's something wrong.
Okay. I'm also into that. Always ask questions. Maybe do it, but ask questions why.
Exactly.
And last one, quick tip for resumes or curriculums.
Don't lie. I mean, there are people who are trying to sell a wrong idea of them, and they create a different person. I think that's not good. Don't lie. Just stick to what is yours and what you've been doing and where you want to go, and stay there. Do not lie in your resume.
Nice. Or at least lie, but... that it is certain to your or near of what you are actually doing, or maybe, I don't know, don't lie that extremely. Well, anyway, Rulo, before we end up, you want to make a last conclusion on life, on projects, on the interview?
No, I mean, chemical engineering is it's a great profession, to be very honest. We as chemical engineers always say that we have the best profession, and I think it's true in a certain way, because we are very flexible engineers who can adapt to different situations, who see the world on a different way, who always try to understand why things work like that. No, not only how things work, but also why they work like that. And despite I'm not working as a project engineer anymore. I really enjoyed my chemical engineering classes and how I'm applying them on my life, what I was doing and what I'm doing right now. So I wouldn't change studying chemical engineering for anything in the world.
That's great, Rulo. Well, I think we are done. Almost 53 minutes. I really enjoy having this chat with you, Rulo. We have been talking about this already in personal chats in Spanish. And I really hope you come to Monterey or at least sell me some packages and let me try them. I'm pretty sure they're great. What's the name of your social media? If people want to contact you, maybe they want to offer you some jobs. Nah, just kidding. Maybe they want to ask you something on Pepsi, something on food industry. Maybe they want to try your food. So I will be adding that on the website, but also let me know here in the audio.
Yeah, I mean, my email is it's the best way to reach me. I'm always open to talk with the young engineers because sometimes we need a different opinion. I might not the answer, but I would be glad to help in any way I can.
That's great. So I will be adding your email with your consent later on. And Rulo, well, it was great. Let me just thank you once again, and hopefully I'll see you in future episodes.
I hope the same. Thank you for your time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And before you go, I will really appreciate it if you take the time to share this podcast with your fellow colleagues, classmates, friends, or really anyone that might be interested on the topic of chemical engineering and its related fields. If you found this content helpful and valuable, please consider subscribing, rating, and leaving a review. Thank you so much for your support. It really means a lot.